You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Last year, Oakland Unified School District Superintendent Antoine Wilson proposed a new teaching approach for special education students. It's called an inclusion model, and it means students with special needs take classes side by side with general education students, and they'll get additional in-class support. But earlier this year, Superintendent Wilson left for a job in Washington, D.C., and the special education department has been in flux. Some parents and teachers worry the district doesn't have the resources or the leadership to make inclusion work for everyone. KALW's Sarah Tan reports.
Come on, babe. You're not making the right noise. I don't hear any water running. I just want you to be ready to go to school.
Mornings are tough for a lot of moms, and that's definitely true for Ensombi Hassan. She's trying to get her fifth grader, Jared, ready for school.
And you could have been ready a long time ago. Shall I come in there and watch you?
No.
Jared was born drug addicted, and Ensombi became his foster mom when he was 2 days old. Since then, he's been diagnosed with ADHD and a speech delay.
Jared has his own world. And he wakes up in his own world. But every morning for 2.5 hours before he gets to school, I have to get him ready to get into their world.
So you'd think being in an inclusion class at Carl B. Monk Elementary would help. But Mom Ensombi says Jared struggles with math and frequent bullying. The school wouldn't comment on his case or let me on campus. But his mom says even though Jared's in an inclusion class, he and other special education students are being left out.
They're always separated. You'll always see a table in the back or a table up front. If you walk into the classroom and see a table, then you know that's where the special needs students sit.
Inclusion is not a new concept. In the U.S., schools first made attempts at inclusion in the early 1960s. One school in Oakland adopted inclusion strategies a decade ago. But school board president James Harris says too many special needs students had been in separate classes, not interacting much with their general ed peers.
So I think we're headed in the right direction, and that direction is inclusion and allowing access to special education students to excel at the level that meets the needs that they have both immediately and in their long-term educational career. And we just hadn't been doing that as a practice, as a district, across the board.
The few inclusion programs that were in schools were in more affluent neighborhoods. Harris says former Superintendent Antoine Wilson wanted inclusion in every Oakland school.
We have to get in Oakland, you know, a through line in the services we provide.
Markham Elementary in East Oakland started piloting inclusion classes with its third, fourth, and fifth graders this past September. Each general ed class folds in a handful of mild or moderate special needs students.
Okay, and then number four?
Just draw short phrases and sentences.
Or sometimes you could just...
Like in this fifth grade class, co-taught by general ed teacher Renee Gillespie and special ed teacher Christelle Grace. Today, they're talking about note-taking, using Amelia Earhart's Flights Around the World as an example.
Sometimes you could just
make a list,
which is sort of like bullets to the...
Now I have a question for you guys. She talks about the different ways you take notes. Do you have to use all of these?
Grace and Gillespie instruct the whole class together, then break students into two groups for more personalized instruction.
No, it's not finished. It's a comma.
To South America. And then across the Atlantic Ocean to Africa.
Okay. Christian?
They continue over the
Sierra
Desert and on the...
Grace says she's seen the positive aspects of inclusion.
They're able to teach each other, to respond to each other. It's give them compassion, understanding, to realize that, oh, I didn't do my homework today, but you know what? He didn't do his homework neither, but he's trying. Let me try.
This is just one version of how inclusion can be done. At other schools, classes have one or two teachers plus individual aides for special ed students. 15 schools received professional development this school year, and the district says inclusion's happening at all of them. But teachers like Sayuri Sakamoto at Bret Hart Middle School say there are problems with implementation. Like in one class?
43% of this particular class was special ed students. And so are the students, you know, succeeding in their classes? Yes. But could we have done things differently and better? Yes.
Oakland International High School teacher Natalia Stark says numbers like that distort the idea behind inclusion.
That changes the dynamic of the cohort in a way that is very difficult to manage. As time goes on, if more and more students qualify, then it becomes more difficult to have like heterogeneous grouping in the classes, to have students with a variety of skill levels.
Sayuri Sakamoto also says it's difficult having the superintendent who championed inclusion leave while it's being piloted.
Because if there is nobody leading us and providing this continuity and these supports, then teachers do quit. Teachers don't stay. Teachers do feel overwhelmed.
And students often pay the price.
The lack of stability and leadership, I mean, it's exhausting mentally. And so when there's not someone who is firmly planted and firmly rooted, and that absolutely affects our students and their learning.
One of the district's biggest partners, Teach for America, is watching how inclusion will roll out. For the last 20 years, Teach for America has filled about a third of the special education vacancies. Now, Director Tracy Session says they're hitting the pause button, not assigning any new special education teachers until the inclusion plan is more clear.
We think it's a great idea. We believe that that should be our aspiration. And at the same time, our teachers were telling us that they had questions around what it will look like in implementation.
Session says he knows Teach for America's absence will make an impact on special education staffing, but they decided this was best in the long run.
That we actually need to make sure that we get it right, because it's what our students deserve, it's what our families deserve, it's what our teachers deserve, quite frankly.
Board member James Harris says one of the barriers to achieving full inclusion is the price tag. He estimates the most ideal model would cost about $10 million. But the district is in a budget deficit. The special education department has run $7 million over budget in the past 2 years. And Harris isn't sure where that kind of money would come from.
We're trying to do this with a lot less money than they're trying to do it with in New Jersey, New York. And it's incredibly difficult.
He proposes cutting costs by moving services like speech therapy and testing into the district's special education department and away from private contractors. Nina Bawa, OUSD's Director of Schools for Special Education, says the district needs to better utilize teachers and resources that they already have.
We work with schools individually to look at what their current staffing allocation is, what the needs of the students are, and then develop a model around that. What is it going to look like in terms of needing extra support, or are we going to be able to utilize the current staff to support the needs of the students?
Lisa Raisler has a daughter named Cleo with Down syndrome. Cleo's now a junior at Oakland Tech and has been in inclusion since kindergarten.
Cleo has really thrived, being in a diverse group of kids and really fully part of the community in general ed, and it's been in many ways a very, very good experience.
But Raisler thinks full implementation of inclusion will need more money than the district has. She speculates that the push for inclusion could be a way to trim the special education budget.
I think that in some way there's an idea in the district that universalizing inclusion will be cheaper. And I think that it is not necessarily cheaper at all, that there are a lot of attending services that need to be provided in order for inclusion to be a really successful model.
Teacher Natalia Stark is also skeptical of the district's funding plan. She says proper inclusion will require more staff to support and train special education teachers and more collaboration time.
One of the major barriers is that in order to have a successful and well-run inclusion program, it will actually cost a lot more money.
The district plans to pilot inclusion at 15 new schools in the coming year with an end goal of offering inclusion services in every school within the next 2 years. Meanwhile, Jared, who we met at the beginning of this story, is still struggling to get through a school day. But he's found refuge in a class outside his school in an African drumming class.
Did you say hi to everybody?
Hi.
Hi, pal.
His mother, Ensombi Hassan, says the class helps focus him.
He drums twice a week. On the weekends, he has classes, which I think has gotten him over the hump.
She just wishes he could have focus at school so he can eventually graduate and go to college.
I'm worried about Jared keeping up.
In the next few months, Jared will move on to middle school with a new schedule, different rules, and different requirements. His mom doesn't even know if his new school will have inclusion classes. It's a time of great change for Jared and the district, too. For Cross Currents, I'm Sarah Tan.